T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can follow on Twitter at Ryan Recker, or you can check out the podcast of anything we talk about, including our upcoming interviews this hour, at KMOX.com/ONA. He is the author of Heart of Steel, and you should be careful when you start digging into your family history, and I know a lot of people have been doing that with the DNA testing kits that are out there. Joining us now is Kevin Miller. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, very good. I wanted to talk to you about your history and how you became involved with digging into your family history. I know so many people do it. It's become a very popular pastime. Christmas was just a week ago, and I know a lot of people may even got that as a gift, a way to dig back into their DNA and find family members. You know, sometimes they're not prepared with what they're about to find. You found that out.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, anybody that wants to do that, it's you know, I'm all for it because of the truth and stuff that I found out. But you definitely have to really take in consideration that you may find some things that you did not want to know, you know, or some things that might shock you. So, you know, go in prepared. If you're going to do this, if you're going to investigate your history and your DNA and such, just, I mean, do it with that in mind, that you might find some stuff that a little bit shocking.
I want to talk about your journey and things that you found over time. So you're a U.S. Air Force vet. And what made you look into your family history to begin with?
Well, where it started, Ryan, was a few years back, a while back, an uncle of mine was at a funeral, and he had some cousins that were looking into the family history, and they came across these newspaper articles from 1920, and they handed them to him, and they said, you might want to read these because your name's not really Miller. So looking at the articles, you know, my real name is actually Puhalski, very Polish name. And we didn't know this. My dad, he's 86 years old. He had no idea, you know, that this happened. My grandfather had changed our name back in 1920, and he never told anybody. He just took it to the grave with him. And, you know, the newspaper articles, when we looked at them, they kind of talk about a scandal that happened with our family in 1920 in rural Ohio, actually Southington, the township of Southington, Ohio, close to Warren, where my great-grandfather was murdered in his sleep. And my great-grandmother was tied to a chair and sent my grandfather, who was 12 at the time, to get the sheriff. You know, then an investigation kind of takes place. And this story takes a bunch of different twists and turns as I'm reading each article over a period of about, you know, about a week or week and a half. So, and it was just, it was shocking. It was just one of those things. So that's kind of where it started, Ryan.
Then you find that you have so many more questions. You're trying to figure it all out. How in the world can you digest something like that? There had to have been a point where you may have been in denial. You're thinking, no way, this is our family. No way.
It was, because it's like I was close to my grandfather, and it's like I didn't know the man as well as I thought I knew him, you know, because he carried this with him all his life and never spoke of it. They made a pact in 1920 to change the name to Miller and never speak of it, and they were pretty tight-lipped over it. So it was a bit of a shock. And then a few years later, my dad's cousin, who's the daughter of one of my grandfather's siblings, sent him some more documents, and they were talking about the murder. And she sent him a bunch of documents that we, you know, looked through, and it started, really started the research, because a lot of these documents were the court documents of the trial that went on. You know, there was a lot of interesting stuff in there that then it was like, you know what? I got to dive into this because now it's just, there's just so much there. I have to know, and I wanted to know. And, you know, like you're kind of warning your viewers, you know, you might really consider embracing that if you're going to move forward with it, because you just might come across some stuff like I did.
Kevin Miller is joining us on the line, author of Heart of Steel. It's 1920. I'm going to guess it wasn't that hard to change identities. There wasn't a lot of record keeping. They're probably pretty easy for them to just assume it under their identity.
You would be absolutely right, Ryan, with that, because, 1920, I think it was before Social Security and stuff, so it'd have been very easy for him to do that.
Yeah.
You're right.
So all of this goes down, not even a hint of it. You think the motivation of it all, the reason why he decided to do it, was to protect the family, or do you think there was other motivations?
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head right there, to protect the family. He was trying to protect his family, his mom, his children and grandchildren, the generations to come from this scandal. You know, it was a time where you kind of protected your family, you know, and your family secrets and your, you know, that sort of thing. You didn't blast them out to the news and such. You know,
the family name was a big deal.
Your family took care of each other, and that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to protect us all, you know, from this awful truth, you know, and protect his family.
Are you surprised, knowing him as a grandfather, that he would be able to keep that secret all those years and not mention it again?
No, you know, I'm not surprised that he was able to do that, because he was just such an incredible man. I mean, he was tough as nails. That generation was a totally different generation, Ryan. I mean, they were made of steel or of iron. I mean, they had a different way of thinking, you know, and it doesn't surprise me, because he was a very strong individual, physically and mentally and emotionally, apparently, because to be able to hold that inside all these years, you know, says a lot to the man's emotional strength.
Was the basic family stories all true? As in, they would, you know, even though the name was different, just the different, like, you know, oh, here's Aunt Betty or great aunt, whatever, did this, or they lived over here. Was, like, the details of the family all correct, and the only thing that was off was the last name?
Well, the last name was changed, and we had no idea, you know, but everything associated with the reason why the name was changed, you know, was all hidden from us. We really didn't know. There was bits and pieces, you know, and there's clues here and there. And it's kind of like, once you find out the truth, you kind of think back, kind of like watching a good movie. You think back and go, ah, why didn't I catch that clue? For example, you know, it's like my grandfather, he told my dad, he says, you know what, your grandma went to prison for bootlegging in 1920.
Okay.
And it was his way of, you know, just kind of throwing some stuff off. So some stuff kind of made sense later on as we kind of put the pieces together to the story.
Yeah. You know, and the story is called Heart of Steel, author Kevin Miller. Where can people find the book right now?
Ryan, they can find it. The best way to find it is to go to the website, heartofsteelbook.com. Mm-hmm. And there's more information up there. And there's also links to Amazon and links to Barnes & Noble as well. It's on an ebook and paperback on Amazon, and it's on a paperback on Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at a map, and I had to figure out where the family was. So outside of Warren in Ohio, my father-in-law's from Lorain, so on the other side of Cleveland over there. And they have a special walk, the Lorain Walk. Is there something, like, do you have, like, a special family way that you guys have that it's like only people in that area would know how to do it?
Not off the top of my head, Ryan. I don't have anything like that. But I'll tell you, it was very interesting going back and researching and going through Warren and just finding the farm. You know, we didn't know where the farm was exactly. It was a 98.5-acre farm.
Wow.
And it was interesting finding, because we dug through some records and found the deed that just had a legal description, no address, and worked with a historian in Warren who gave me a plat map from around that time, and I was able to match it up, and I found the farm.
Wow. Was there a census around that time? Was that documented, the family, then?
Yeah, there was some. I found some census records, and the census records didn't have an exact address or a lot of information and stuff.
I
didn't really pull it together until I had the legal description of the property and a plat map to match them up. And then I overlaid it on Google, you know, to kind of look and just see where the property was. And because at this time I had already left Warren when I discovered where the property was. So now I want to go back, you know, to Southington over there and actually, you know, walk the land. I want to go knock on some doors.
Oh, man.
And say, hey, you know, there's some history, you know, here, and you guys might be interested in offering a book, maybe just to let me walk around, take some pictures.
Learn something new. You think they'll want to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, do you mind holding on after the break? I have some more questions for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, Ryan.
Let's do that. And joining us here for this half hour, Kevin Miller is author of Heart of Steel. You can find it on the web. And Heart of Steel is on Amazon. You can get that now. Great ratings on it. In paperback, just came out a couple of months ago. Great ratings. It actually rose to, you know, number 41 in mental health law books. And I'm looking at some of the top 100 charts it was on. I always like when Amazon charts those things. But you can go on to the reviews are great. All 4- and 5-star reviews. People say it's emotionally capturing. We're going to talk more with author Kevin Miller next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
You know, thanks for spending some time with us here tonight on Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and the next 10 minutes or so, Kevin Miller is the author of Heart of Steel. Be careful when you start to dig up your past. The website, heartofsteelbook.com. Kevin Miller, again, thank you for sticking around here on Overnight America.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. Enjoy it, man. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, you know, so I go to the website, heartofsteelbook.com, and it says, soon to be a major motion picture. What's up with that?
Yes, actually, I've spoken with a production company in Hollywood, and they've optioned the book for a movie, and currently it's in the process to, you know, convert it over to a screenplay and get the financing and stuff, so we may get to see this story on the big screen next.
Wow, isn't that
so we're
something?
Kind of working on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, when you start to go back and you think about how you would have handled a situation like this and you people involved, what is there anything you would have done differently?
Man, I'll tell you, Ryan, because writing this book, you know, I kind of just tried to, you know, kind of live through my grandfather's eyes and try to figure out, you know, how in the heck did he do this? You know, I'm 12, 13 years old. And I'm on, you know, and because he runs away, the siblings end up in an orphanage, and he runs away with the idea to go get a job, get some money, come back and steal them out. But through his travels, I'm trying to put myself in his place and thinking, how did he do this? And what would I do? You know, what would I do in this situation? And it was difficult, man. It was an emotional story to write actually for me, because I had to do a lot of inner inflection and I had to kind of channel my grandfather's spirit in, you know, just to kind of try to really, you know, get myself as him. I was trying to write the story as him. And that's kind of how the story's written, is through his eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah,
when you read the, you know, you're kind of living it as him, as Stanley.
Yeah, I wonder too. When you have this relationship, and of course you said your parents didn't know, but you knew your grandfather, you knew him, mm-hmm. and you had obviously certain feelings towards him, of a family, a grandfather, love, all of these emotions. Did any emotions for him change after you did the research?
He passed away in 1985, Ryan, and we didn't learn of this until years later after he was gone.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like, as in, once you start to uncover this, when you go back, did anything change for you? As in, what you, way you felt about your, you know, your grandfather?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I had a whole new respect, a whole new love for the man that, you know, I mean, because he was kind of a hard nut to crack. He was a tough guy. He was, from 1920s, he was a scrapper, and he was just a tough guy, but he had, you know, a very loving heart, and I just didn't know the man to the depth that I feel I know him now. You know, I know him so much deeper now, and the fact that he's gone, you know, it's hard. I'd just love to just have one day to sit down and just, you know, talk to him and ask him questions.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't answer him.
Definitely. Yeah.
You can ask it.
Yeah.
Is your father still around?
He is. My father is 86 years old, going to be 87 in March, and he's hanging on because he wanted the book. I mean, my goal is to write this book and autograph it and hand him a copy, and I've done that. Now my next goal is to take him to the movie theater so he can sit and watch the story.
Oh,
he wanted to write the story, Ryan, but he just didn't know how to go about it. And he had all this stuff, and he just finally asked me if I would write the story, you know, and I'm like, absolutely, you know, I would love to write his story. So it took about 3 years to piece it all together.
Yeah, Heart of Steel is the name of the book. HeartOfSteelBook.com is where people can find it. And when people go and they look back family history, genealogy is very popular where people will post things and you find your family tree may overlap with someone else's and you may be related to someone else. It's not always that you may not expect to find some things. Some people hope to be like distant relative to a celebrity or, oh, yeah, look, I'm related to this politician or president or, oh, look at this or that. They don't really account for the other side of things, the things that may come up that may be a little bit darker in the family history past. So given all of these things, it's almost like a roll of the dice. Is it better to know or is it better not to know?
My personal opinion, Ryan, is it's for me, it's better to know. You know, I would rather know because it's like I'm learning about my family history. I'm learning the truth. You know, it's like I don't want to hide from the truth, even though it's painful. And there was a lot and shocking. It's the truth. And it's what, you know, my grandparent and my family really went through. So I embrace it myself, you know, and I would encourage, you know, I mean, I guess it's a personal decision, but I would encourage people to, you know, to want to learn the truth. But I understand if there's, you know, there might be something that some people just might not want to know. And I guess, like I said, it's kind of a personal choice. Yeah. You know, well, I say yes. But
ignorance can be bliss at times. Imagine being very close to a relative and you find out something that completely changes everything for you. That'd be devastating for some people. You know, you never know. Okay, so heartofsteelbook.com is the website. People can get links to the book on there. I understand you can find it at multiple locations, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, things like that. Probably easiest for people just to check you out on the website, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the website's the best place to go. And I got my social media at the top, so, you know, reach out to me. I love hearing from people, and I love hearing, you know, feedback from people because I get a lot of emails and calls and stuff from folks just out of the blue. You know, some lady from Cincinnati, Ohio says, I heard you on the radio station, I had to buy your book, and I love the book. And I just, I love hearing from people. So please do reach out to me.
All right, Kevin Miller, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight on Overnight America. The book, again, Heart of Steel, heartofsteelbook.com. Very fascinating stuff, and I can't wait. I'll have to follow you on Facebook or Twitter and just see the developments of that major motion picture. I want to get the updates just on that alone.
Have me back on. We'll talk about the movie when it comes up, Ryan, and I'll follow you back on your social media. I was listening to you earlier. You're cracking the Golden Globes. You're killing me, man. That was one of the funniest things.
Isn't that great? Ricky Gervais, man. He's so good. And that's the thing, you know, he's not innocent himself when it comes to that. I know that all the Hollywood people are, but the big difference is you can be aware that people don't want that. And you know what? Sometimes it's golden when you can just keep your mouth shut on those things, and he recognizes it.
I loved it, man. Just loved it. It was beautiful.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, you take care. You have a great night.
You too. That is author Kevin Miller and his book, Heart of Steel. You can find it online. We'll post this interview online as well at KMOX.com/ONA. He joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. Coming up next, we have another author. Tom Voss is his name. And he wrote a book called Where War Ends, Recovering from PTSD and Some of the Things That Helped Him. And this may even help you or your family members on Overnight America KMOX.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And we had a guest, Tom Voss, with his book, Where War Ends, but we're having a hard time getting a hold of him, so we're going to call the publicist up, and hopefully we can catch him here in a little bit while our producer is doing that. You know, I could cover a couple of things there. Maybe I could thank Kevin Miller again. That was real fascinating. Things you find out in the family tree. Wow, there's a lot. The perceptions change, too. Let me just bring this up real quick. Can I tell you one random thought? I'm watching on the different networks. I've decided to put up ABC, which is airing The Bachelor. My wife loves The Bachelor. Loves it. She'll wait and do all of her laundry on Bachelor nights. And just recently, my wife, her being a saint, said, here, I'll start doing everyone's laundry. That's right. I was doing my own, and now she's been doing all of the family laundry. So she'll wait, and she'll basically have a pile of clothes from the floor to the ceiling. And then she'll do it all in one day. And then she watches The Bachelor and folds laundry. That's like her routine. And I know she's at home right now watching the show. So I have it on up there just so I could kind of like make fun of it next time I see her in the morning. But here's what I see on this. So it's a giant room and all of the girls are around there and they're having a good old time and they're doing this and that. And then you have the guy, and if the basis of The Bachelor is he's the single guy and he's trying to court all these women and they narrow it down to one. And at the end, they, you know, decide if they want to live their life together or whatever. And eventually it ends up not working out. Like a month later, they do a follow up and, you know, it's pretty much garbage. So I'm watching this and this dude is like going around kissing all these women. Every single one, it's like he'll get a one-on-one smooch, 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 smooch. He's like going around. He's just living it up like a playboy over there. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if he had a cold sore and he was just spreading around this like mouth herpes to everyone? Oh, wouldn't that be a great twist to The Bachelor? They need to get real like that. You got to get real. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but, you know, a guy can hope. Put an end to reality shows like that. You know, they'll think twice about it when they go on to these shows. Yeah, boy, remember that outbreak in season 40? All right, what do we got here? Hopefully we can get a Tom. Any indication? Do you think we'll be able to get him? Yes or no? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Are they getting thumbs down? All right. We're not going to get him. That's okay. There was a mix-up. There's always a mix-up. This is what happened. They're always a mix-up, so that's okay. You know, I got some other things I can talk about here. In the last hour, I was going to do the Josh Hawley thing, and I didn't get a lot of time for it, but I might as well do it now. I don't know. Do I want to go serious? Do I not? I can play more Ricky Gervais clips. Yeah, let me do that. This is more fun than trying to talk politics right now. Ricky Gervais brought up Jeffrey Epstein last night, too. All right, let me play this on from the Golden Globes last night on NBC.
No, no, we got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire...
Isn't that funny? We got to drag this out for 3 hours. He's there hosting a show that they know is too long to begin with, that people don't really watch all that much. I wonder what the ratings were for that. I'll see if I can find it.
No, no, we got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. That's a show about a man who wants to kill himself because his wife dies of cancer. And it's still more fun than this, okay?
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert, season two is on the way. So in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, no.
Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care. You had to make your own way here in your own plane, didn't you?
You had to make your own way in with your own plane, didn't you? So, all right, so the awards last night had, what do they say? According to the Hollywood Reporter, Golden Globes with Ricky Gervais down only slightly hit 8-year viewer low. 8-year viewer low. So it says the 18.33 million viewers, 2% drop from the show last year. The Golden Globes fell a little bit more sharply in key ad demographics with only a 4.7 rating, 10% decline from the year before. Time zone adjustments off 6%, blah, 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 blah. All right. Again, who's watching this? And depending on what the rating is and considering it's a 3-hour show, that really throws things off because if they're going to count how many, like 18 million people watched it, yeah, but if it was on for 18 hours, how many of them were really watching it? Like, if they were on for 5 minutes and they flipped the channel, do they call it? Oh, yeah, that they watched for 3 hours? It's pretty misleading. Of those 18 million, I would love to find out who watched more than an hour of it. I'm going to guess of the 18 million, it drops probably 8 million. Probably 10 million people watch more than an hour. And the only reason they did that because it was on in the background. They enjoyed Ricky Gervais doing his thing. You know who else had a moment last night? Another person that had a moment last night was Joaquin Phoenix. He played the Joker, and I think he won. So he went up on stage, accepted his award, and he did a phenomenal piece of work with the Joker. I mean, the way he was able to transform all of that, I think it became the biggest grossing box office R-rated film of all time when that came out. And people looked at it and they said, I don't know how you're going to beat that performance. He went on stage last night, and he also went the route of Ricky Gervais, not as harsh, but still, he was wagging a finger.
It's great to vote. But sometimes we have to take that responsibility on ourselves and make changes and sacrifices in our own lives. And I hope that we can do that. We don't have to take private jets to Palm Springs for the war sometimes or back.
We don't have to. So this is how out of touch some people are. You know, you get that paycheck, $10 million for this, $10 million for that, whatever it is. Aren't you just a little bit out of touch where you say, here's a couple of ways we could try to help the world. Maybe we don't take the private jet to the Palm Springs. Oh, okay. All right. You know, you really, because the people watching the award shows at home, they're thinking to themselves, if I only would have thought of that, I'm going to stop taking my private jet everywhere I go. Oh, so relatable. But no, that's good, too. He calls out the celebrities and saying, I think you're out of touch. I think we're all kind of out of touch on something like this. What else did Ricky Gervais do? Man, was he funny last night. How about this one? Looking at some of the executives there. Harvey Weinstein certainly had a bad day in court today. Didn't help that a lot of the people in the room were friends with him.
But tonight isn't just about the people in front of the camera. In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world. People from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. Look, talking of all you perverts, it was a big year. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. I don't care.
That's this whole thing. He's like, I don't care. I'm too old for this, and they're not going to invite me back anyway. Oh, was that something else? Everyone was talking about it today. Even Fox and Sean Hannity. I just saw it on not that long ago when Hannity's program was live over on Fox News. Yeah, he was even talking about it. Other people were talking about it. Did you tell me? Pat Sajak, who's the host of Wheel of Fortune, tweeted out, when I die, I'm putting it in my will that Ricky Gervais does he comes up and does a speech as part of the funeral. He wants him to talk at his funeral. That is great. Pat Sajak's hilarious. You know, the thing is, Pat Sajak doesn't get the credit he deserves. He is so funny. But if you follow him on Twitter, oh, is he funny? Well worth your time. One more Ricky Gervais clip. Why not? How about this one?
It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long. Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. So. Even Prince Andrew's like, come on, Leo, mate, you know.
Oh, even Prince Andrew's. Oh, man, what a time to watch this. And just when we needed it, there was a nice little lull in what was going on. Thank you, Ricky Gervais, for a little pick-me-up. What do you think happens next time he shows up at one of those Hollywood parties, right? You think he's going to be well-received, or you think they're going to look at him and saying, like, who invited this guy? All right, coming up next, Josh Hawley. Yeah, he spent some time today on the Senate floor, and he was putting his argument together of why they should try to put a timetable, a shot clock on the articles of impeachment, as opposed to holding them forever. Maybe once you have them, you have to decide if you're going to use it. You know the old phrase, use it or get off the pot? That's kind of a nice way to put it. That's basically what they're saying. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Looks like we'll have to reschedule Tom Voss. We were going to have him on this half hour, but I think we're looking later this week, so that's pretty good. Next hour, we're going to talk a little Harvey Weinstein. I know some people have been online talking about that. Gene Simmons is the rock and roll icon from Kiss. You know Gene Simmons. He did that TV show for a long time, Family Jewels. Everyone went crazy for it. He's got that long tongue. He went on social media and he posted something, which may be one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Rock stars are strange, man. I have never, ever, ever, ever heard of anyone doing this. So we'll talk about Gene Simmons next hour. We'll also hook up with AccuWeather. They're following what's going on in Australia. Massive brush fires there. Australia is such a large country, and so much of it is being just devastating with these brush fires. Well, I saw something, and I wanted to get a meteorologist's take on this. Apparently, it's so large and it's getting so hot, there's multiple weather systems that are being created by this brush fire, which is crazy to me. So I was hoping they can explain what's going on and how that really has an impact on everything that's going on down there, too. Oh, and there was a prank call to Maxine Waters. This is hilarious. The two Russian prankers, YouTubers or whatever, they got her pretty good. So I want to play some of that, too. Earlier today, Josh Hawley, as expected, because he was out there and he was saying that he was going to do this, decided to introduce measures to dismiss articles of impeachment. And part of this whole idea with Josh Hawley is that, come on, y'all, move on already.
We need to change the Senate rules to allow the Senate to dismiss this case if she refuses to send the articles over.
And I think it's a pretty simple request. I don't think you should be able to sit on that. Why? What's the purpose of sitting on it? This is part of the way the Democrats have worked the last couple of years. Their whole philosophy is we need to sandbag as much as we can. We're going to, when it gets close to an election, midterm elections, same thing. Now the 2020 election's coming up, same thing. Sandbag. Push back as far as you can. Hope that you take enough seats and maybe it'll change the outcome. This is a garbage way to do it, but it's the way it's happening right now. And it's a cycle over and over again. It goes to show you how important it is for the Republicans right now not to lose any more seats. Because if that happens, it's going to be even worse if President Trump is reelected and the Democrats have control. There's going to be a four-year gap where nothing happens. It's going to be terrible. So Senator Josh Hawley just putting this measure together. You know, we could talk about this too. Let me get some of your phone calls at 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Should we put a shot clock on these articles of impeachment? I don't see any downside to this. You're going to do it or you're not going to do it. You don't go through this process. You don't go through this hearing process. You don't put all of this together if you're going to do nothing with it. What's the point? You got to do something with it. Let me play a couple of his arguments from the House or the Senate floor earlier.
Madam President, it has been 19 days today. 19 days. Since the House of Representatives impeached the President of the United States. 19 days since we were told that it was urgent that President Trump be impeached and removed from office. It was urgent for the safety of the country.
Urgent.
It was urgent for national security. It was urgent to protect the Constitution of the United States. It was urgent. It had to be done now. The articles had to be rushed through. The rules had to be violated. There couldn't be due process. It was urgent. And where are we now? 19 days later, and the Speaker of the House has still not transmitted the articles to this body for a trial, has still not appointed managers for a trial, has still not exhibited the articles before this body for a trial. We now have the longest delay in American history in providing notice to this body and actually moving forward with a trial. And now I think we have a better sense of what was urgent. What was urgent was fulfilling the partisan vendetta that the Speaker of the House and the Democrats have against this president. What was urgent was overturning the results of an election that they have never accepted. That's what was urgent.
Yeah. How do you disagree with that? At this point, I don't think you can. I really don't. You know, and he went on to say, it's time to act. Enough of this. All right, come on. So what's going to happen? You're just going to keep sandbagging? Are we just going to go through this sort of cycle over and over and over again? Are we just going to humor the idea? Or do you just want to, like, savor it? You just want to put it and you just want to dangle it over? You know, is this what you're going to do? Is this how you hope to get more votes, more donations to the Democrat Party? Enough with it already. If you're going to go through the procedure, go through with it. If you're not going to go through with the procedure, drop it. All right? Be done with it. Let me get to Sean, who's calling in. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah,
thanks for
you
calling.
Know, I think you hit it right on the head that he's never going to be able to accomplish anything. Because, I mean, it's almost obvious that he's probably going to be president again because they're not going to fight. This is another wild goose chase. And then once he does get in office for 2020, they're going to be bringing up so much stuff. We're wasting millions upon millions of dollars with constant court cases. They keep doing this. We're not accomplishing anything. And he's not going to be able to accomplish anything by constantly being, you know, suspect on every little move that he does. So it's like, how, you know, and when he does do his two terms, how's he going to be judged? He was in court most of the time, and everything he tried to do was speculated on every single move, regardless of how great it was. It's not going to matter.
Yeah. And part of this, too, is the legacy of it all. They're just rewriting history as it goes along, because you know when people look back at this, what they're going to do is they're going to focus on things that may not be factually true, but will be reflecting the emotion that the Democrats are setting right now. And I think that's what feeds into this. They're going to say, okay, we're going to try to beat them, maybe not in the Senate hearings, so we're not going to beat them at the ballot box, but, man, we're going to be able to beat them on emotion, so we're just going to beat them down until we can get the change we want. And, you know, it's a pretty lousy strategy if you think about it. And I think that if this is the way that they want to operate for 4 years, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll go crazy, Sean. This is going to go – I'll go absolutely crazy.
Oh, I totally agree. And yeah. and I think what the worst part about it all is the millions of dollars of taxpayers' money on just – frivolous stuff. And instead of, you know, they're talking about wanting this money to go good and do good for the taxpayers. Well, you're not helping by no means. If anything, you're hurting us worse.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Sean. Good to hear from you.
All righty.
Have a good night. Let's go to Joe, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, hey, it's obviously a mess, right? Both parts, I'm going to comment just so you know, it's a mess. But I would like to know the truth. Why doesn't the Senate call witnesses? What's the big deal? I don't understand.
So
why don't they call those four witnesses who know what went on?
Okay, so I'll just play the counter to something like that. So do you really think this is about finding the truth, or do you think this is strictly political and trying to use it to attack Donald Trump?
I think there's definitely some politics involved on both sides, right?
I think it's strictly political. I really don't think they're trying to find the truth of anything.
I don't want foreign entities in our elections. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No, I don't. When you say foreign entities, are you along one of those people that say that Donald Trump say foreign agent?
No.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying Donald Trump would take the help if he could get it, though. He would take foreign help if it came his way. I think he would do anything. I don't think he has any morals or any scruples whatsoever.
Okay. So this is all about what he's capable of doing or what he did?
Well, I heard him with my own 2 ears say investigate Joe Biden on TV. I heard it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
On behalf of? You think it was behalf of the Trump campaign? There's a lot of arguments that could be made both ways.
I don't think it has anything to do with corruption because he's a very corrupt individual. So I think that's a bunch of I think that's hypocritical at the least, that Donald Trump is rooting out corruption.
All right, let's say it's not okay to look into Joe Biden, who may be accused of doing the same thing. Biden gets a free pass or not?
But that's not why Donald Trump is doing it, though. He's doing it to win an election.
Okay, so again, it's based on motivations and opinions.
I'm not a Trump fan, I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of what the Democrats are doing either.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's basically, we've seen a lot of speculation. We've seen a lot of guesswork. We've seen a lot of people wanting to know what the motivations are. But from the things that have actually been presented, there hasn't been this hard evidence that would say that this is going to move forward and there's going to be a bunch of senators that'll remove him from office. It's just not available at the time.
The senators aren't going to put, but he is obstructing the truth. He's not letting the truth come out either. Why is he blocking all these witnesses? Let the witnesses talk, or what's he got to hide? That's my point.
All right. Hey, thank you, Joe. Good to hear from you.
You too, man.
Yeah, and part of this problem, too, is maybe I'll address this when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.